blessing. I am a blessed man tonight. Take a word of God, please. Turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 1. The book of the Revelation, chapter 1. I hate that I'm not Barry Spears. And I hope you don't get too disappointed. And we need to pray for him. I was excited about hearing him. That man of God has got a touch on his life. And if you've not had the privilege of hearing his salvation testimony, go on Sermon Audio at Wharton Missionary Baptist Church and take enough time to listen to it. I guarantee it'll be a blessing. Will be a blessing to you without a doubt. What a privilege. Man, listen, I've never seen so much traffic coming out of Charleston. I think, man, they're all going to Wharton. That's what I thought. I was sweating. I called Todd and I said, tell Gary I'm going to be late. Well, I may have broken a law or two coming down the corridor, but I was making good time until I got behind a white bus and a blue bus that had on the side of it Roxalana Gospel Tabernacle. Listen, it's an experience. If it's a first time riding these roads, it's an experience. And when you get home, you'll have a good word of praise for God if you make it safe. I'll guarantee you that. How many of y'all here in Boone County, on Route 85, you remember when they had that sticker out to go on the back of your car, I survived Route 85? Y'all remember that? That's a real thing, I'm telling you. Well, I was looking around at this place coming through, trying to shake hands and just excited. You know what? I remember how the house of the Lord being like this all over this hollow when I was a kid. I mean to tell you, did y'all remember that? I mean, any revival you'd go to, I mean, things were so simple and everybody was just so in love with the Lord. You'd get a good evangelist on this creek. He'd preach 2 weeks one church. They'd move it down the road and everybody go down there the next 2 weeks. We've got a lot to be thankful for tonight. Got a lot to be I told somebody sitting here, I said, I used to do piano recitals here in this church when I was a kid. Used to catch crawdads out of that little creek. I told y'all the last time I was here that I did. But it's good to be back. Listen, I'm honored. You young men that have been called to the ministry, that you've answered the call of God. Listen, let me give you the best advice I can. You stay with it. You stay with it. Listen, God's holding your hand. There's no doubt about that. But you make sure you hold His back. Don't let the devil come in and trip you up and trick you and take you away. Listen, you stay true to God. Do you hear me? Now, one of these days, if you live long enough, you'll be as old as I am, just not good looking as I am. Do you hear me? Yeah. I'll repent after a while on that one. But I remember when I used to be young like you all. You just stay with it. I don't believe it's long that the Lord's going to come. But you simply stay with it. If you come tonight lost, shame on you if you leave that way. I tell them over church all the time that in light of what Jesus did at Calvary, there's no reason for any man, woman, boy or girl to die lost. And salvation is so simple, friend. He said, allow little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. Now I'm honored to be here and I want to be a blessing. I really do. I already feel your prayers. I'm thankful for that. And just don't let up on them, if you will. The message shouldn't take me long to preach tonight. I do want to be a blessing to you. And I want to honor God in His Word. Gary, would you mind bringing my water up here? I left it sitting back here beside that seat. I'm going to begin reading chapter 1 of the book of the Revelation in verse 1. And look, you've been sitting a little while. Here is a request. It's not a command. If you feel like standing for the reading of the Word of God, rest yourself. Do that. If you'd rather sit, thank you, my brother. You just mind the Lord and you stay right there. But you pray for this old preacher. Verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to shew unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. Can I tell you, if God didn't want us to know about this, we wouldn't have it. People say, why should we worry about prophecy and the coming of Christ? Friend, listen, to rejoice in if you're ready and to warn those that are not. He said, who bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of his prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. And to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Amen. You may be seated. Father, I'm thankful tonight from the depth of my heart to be in this place. What a joy it is to stand here and to look at this crowd of people who love you, Father, who have been touched by you, that have come into this place to worship you tonight. I'm thankful for this group of young people that have come this way and work, God, in preparation to do their best for you. Thank you for Lonella and for Brother Joe and for Allison and Megan and all the others, Father, that do what they do for your glory with our children. And we pray, God, that you would keep them and bless them in many ways. But Lord, as we've come tonight, oh, we want to be a blessing and we want to be blessed. And I pray, God, as you search our hearts, as the spotlight of the Spirit and the Word moves among us and in us and on us, Father, I pray that, that anyone that's lost, everyone that's lost, anyone that may be backslidden on you, not where they used to be, ought to be, or want to be, that they'd be found out by you. God, may your Spirit touch them, may it stir them, and may it convince them, Father, that to have you in the right place in their life is the right thing to do. Save somebody for your honor and glory in light of what Jesus has done. God, help us to worship you like never before, and we'll be sure to bow our unworthy heads, give you the thanks and the glory for it all, for we ask it in that name that's above every name, the name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I want us to look quickly, if you wouldn't mind, at the last verse that I read, verse 8, and we'll take our text out of there. It's just two words, if you will. Well, I've got a longer text, but two words are going to be the main part of the message. Jesus said to John, he said, tell them that I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. I want you to focus on those two words, which saith the Lord. Which saith the Lord. I'm going to talk to you a little while tonight about the Lord in Revelation. The Lord in Revelation. Now, I'm not going to be able to tell you all there is to know about Him. I'm not, and you all ought to say glory to God here. There are 22 times that the word Lord is mentioned in the Revelation, and you ought to say glory to God when I tell you I don't have a 22-point message. If you don't get happy over that, I don't have anything else for you tonight any better. But I want to talk to you about the Lord. I don't know about you all, but I'm thankful for the Lord, aren't you? I'm thankful, friend, listen, not just for a Lord, but the Lord. Amen. Now, we don't live in a society where there are kings and potentates and lords and dukes and all of that. And we may not understand as we will feel one day the importance of that when we get on the other side and we see Him for ourselves, as Job said, and not another. But I believe there's enough in what God's Word has for us tonight to stir our heart and our spirit as we think about how the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Lord, as you probably well know, speaks of a person possessing power, authority, and rule over another. Hey, listen, friend, have this one that I'm talking about. I'm happy. Hey, listen, He just doesn't have rule over another. He has rule in heaven and in earth and over all things that are and was and always shall be. Hey, you'll hear it again in a moment. But I'm not just talking about a Lord, but I'm talking about the Lord, the Lord of lords and King of kings. How about I want to go on reading in chapter 1 as we think about the Lord as the great high priest. Now look, I'll be reading several verses tonight, but let me tell you, it'll be the best preaching that I do when I read. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, I was in the isle that is called Patmos for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I like verse 10, don't you? He said, I was in the Spirit. Hey, listen tonight. We need the Spirit moving in this place. I need His touch on me. Hey, I don't want to be a preacher that's just a Word-only preacher. I want to be a man that has the touch of God on his life. He said, listen, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a voice, a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. Now John here on the Isle of Patmos, he had been banished. You all know that. According to some history that I've read, they tried already before John arrived at Patmos to kill him, to get him out of the way by boiling him in hot oil. But I want to tell you something, friend. Until our work is done, listen, all the demons of hell can come against us. And until it's time for God to call us home, we're not going anywhere. I like that, don't you? And here he was. They said, well, we can't kill him, so we'll banish him. Isn't it amazing what God does to get us to the place that He needs us? It may be through testing. It may be through tribulation. But I'll tell you what, when you get to the place that God has planned for you, you'll find a peace that passes all understanding. But there he was. And when Jesus was talking, He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write the things that you've heard, and the things which are, and the things that shall be. John took dictation, if you will. I'm going to give you a word that I learned to enunciate. So if I learn them, I may as well. He was an amanuensis. Isn't that good? Y'all like that? You don't seem too impressed, but I like it. And amanuensis, that's a fancy word for saying he was a scribe. He was a dictator. Hey, friend, listen, I don't know about you, and yet I do. I'm thankful for God's Word. I'm thankful that He inspired holy men of God to write it. And let me tell you something. I'm a King James man. I believe that He's not. Now listen. I believe He's not only able to inspire it, I believe He has preserved it just like it ought to be to this day. He said, write what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis and Philadelphia, and being turned. Now listen to this. He said, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And here's where we see the Lord as the great high priest. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks is one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. and his feet like unto brass as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me and said, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, but he said, I'm alive forevermore. Now I want you to look, pay attention. I do a couple of things in this verse, and it's only going to be a couple. Friend, and I'm going to move on. Hey, it's obvious that he is the Lord over the church. Say amen. How right there. Hey, listen, bless God. Jesus didn't put the Pope in the place to be a potentate. Amen. Now listen, he didn't put you in any church to be the big cheese, to be the chief. Amen. Bless God, there's one Lord, and he's in heaven sitting on the throne. He died on a cross, was buried, but he's alive and he lives forevermore. Now look, I'm going to tell y'all something about him. He's interested in the church, and y'all know all these things. You know the number 7 is the number of completion. And look, friend, he knows what's going on in the church. He didn't ascend 40 days after he came out from among the grave just to take his seat on the right hand of the Father and turn it over to us and pull his hands off and says, just go at it. No, listen, friend, he's moving in and out of the churches. And I submit to you that he's not happy about a lot of things. Could somebody say amen right there? Do you know what we ought to want to do? We ought to want to please him that died for us. And we ought to want to glorify him that saved us, that washed us in his blood, that filled us with his spirit, that wrote our name down in the Lamb's book of life. And we want to do our best for him. Hey, friend, listen. Are y'all ready for this? It matters how we come to church. Inside and outside. When I started out the church that I'm pastoring now, I tried to establish just a few little standards. And you know what? I was called Hitler. Now some of y'all may not remember that, but this old preacher, now look, I love the people that did it, but I'm not Hitler. Now let me tell y'all something. I believe in standards. But let me tell you how it goes. Standards will not produce a holiness. But if you got any holiness in you, they'll produce a little standard here and there. Thank God. He told us to come out from the world. He told us that we're not to be fashioned like the world. Hey, if we're saved, we ought to look like Christ, live like Christ, and act like Christ. Amen. You know why they called them Christians down in Antioch at the first place? Because they said, those people look like little Christs. Bless God, listen, it takes more than a t-shirt with the words on the back, I am a believer, to convince me. Say amen right there. Hey, I want you to know, friend, that Jesus is interested in what's going on in the church. He's not happy, friend, that there are so many Christian spiritual motivators. We need more men in the pulpit that would declare, thus saith the Lord, than a bunch of men. That a bunch of men that are trying to tell you how good you are. Now let me tell y'all something. You're a bunch of sinners. We've all been saved by grace. And let me tell you something else. Hey, I'm a counselor. I'm an LPC. It's a big thing. A licensed professional counselor. Isn't that amazing? I can help you with your self-esteem if you need worked on the side. But I'm telling you, I'm not here to make you happy. I'm not here to necessarily make you feel good. I'm here to preach so you can be holy. And if you get holy, you'll be happy. Amen. Now listen, he's got eyes like a flame of fire. He can see more than you can. He's got feet as if they're in brass. Can I tell you, listen, a burnished brass in fire. Do you know what? He's not only able to see what's going on in the church, he's able to judge those that need to be judged. I could stay there all night, but I got to move on. I just heard from headquarters. Let's turn a page. Look in chapter 5. I'm telling you, I've not touched that. I'm just trying to get a little bit of the cream off the top of that. So we see him there, first of all, as the Lord, as the great high priest. Aren't you glad he's there tonight?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that he's seated at the right hand of the Father? Aren't you glad that he's there making intercession for me and you? And hey, it even gets better. Because when I got saved, April the 23rd, 1974, I got in him. He got in me. And because he's there, I'm as good as there. Hey, friend, I'm talking about our great high priest. Look at what he said in Revelation chapter 5. Now before you get... Look, listen how brilliant I am. I'm such a great hermeneutist that it's... I'm such a good scholar. This next statement's going to surprise you. Chapter 5 comes after chapter 2, 3, and 4. Chapter 2 are the letters to the churches. Chapter 4, friend, listen, it shows us that we're gone. I didn't get much help on that, Josh. People must not be looking forward to going. I said chapter 4 shows us that we're going to be gone in an instant, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And when we get there, we'll be before the throne. Thank God, amen. You can look at some strange creatures there. Y'all know why those angels have four faces? You know what? They're so much in the presence of Jesus Christ that they began to look like Him. Amen. And you know what? In this chapter, before it's done, those 24 elders that represent the church, you say, how do you know they do? Because they're in white linen, bless God. Other things like those crowns. Hey, listen, it wasn't for the saints of the Old Testament. It's the saints for the new. And by the way, it's only the church. It's only the church that's going in the rapture. The Old Testament saints will get up at the end of the tribulation. We're going to be there. And listen, in this chapter before it's over with, you know what the Word of God says? They cast their crowns down at His feet and begin to praise Him and worship Him for the creation that He created. I had to tell you that to get to this. Verse 1 of chapter 5. And while John was looking, he said, I saw on the right of hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel claiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Now watch this close. Watch this close. And you know what the Word of God says? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither will loose the seals thereof. And boy, I'll tell you what, John said, when I heard that, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Hey, listen, friend, heaven was searched, earth was searched, and beneath the earth was searched. Hey, I'm happy right now because I know what I'm going to say. Amen. You say, listen, friend, no man. You say, what about Jesus? Well, here's the kicker. He was more than a man. Amen. He was God, and He was man. He was so much God, it was as if He were not man. He was so much man, it was as if He were not God. And John was weeping. John wanted to know what was in that book. And look, friend, listen, it doesn't stop there. He said, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Weep not, John. Behold, listen now, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Here we see the Lord as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. You know what we have here in seeing Jesus as the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Not only prophecy fulfilled out of the book of Genesis, chapter 49, when Jacob was blessing his sons, he said unto Judah, let me go ahead and turn and read it if you will. It'll just be a couple of verses and it'll make it a whole lot more clear what I read it directly from the Word of God. Listen to what He said to Judah. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion, as an old lion. And who shall raise him up? And he said, the scepter, bless God, that thing that indicates rule and kingship and lordship, if you will, said, will not depart from between thy feet until Shiloh come. Can I tell you, friend, listen, he's been here once. That's a good thing. How about he's coming back again? Thank God. And when he comes back, he's coming back to rule. He's coming back with authority. And I'll say more about that in just a little while. Hey, listen. Listen, there is Satan running around in this world as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But you know what? The lion is the king of the jungle, is he not? I mean, he's the king of the animal kingdom. That's why one of the faces as Jesus Christ in who he is, in his character and in his personality and his position is imaged as not only the face of a man, the face of a calf, the face of what's the other one, but also a man in the face of a lion. Can I tell you what? There's only one thing that a lion is afraid of. Do y'all know that? Do you know what it is? You say, preacher, no lion is afraid of anything. Are y'all, you're going to like this if you've never heard it. Yeah, bless God. There's one thing that a lion is afraid of. It's a bigger lion. Do I need to explain that or y'all got it? Okay, thank you. Bless God, there was a strong man, and a stronger man came by and spoiled his house. Is that another hint? Y'all didn't seem to like that as much as I did. Man, oh man. Friend, listen. So we see him not only as the Lord is a great high priest, the Lord is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but I like this. I'm going to read on here in just a minute, but what if you'd have been John? Boy, look, John heard that angel say, "Now wait just a minute, John. Quit weeping. Hey, look up here. We found something." I can imagine old John as he is getting up. I mean, look, there's a difference in crying and weeping. Y'all know that, don't you? Anybody in here know the difference between a whipping and a whooping? Everybody in here under the age of 40, say amen. Amen. You have no idea what a whooping is. And a few of you need one right now, probably, if the truth is known. A whipping, you might cry just a little bit, but you get over it pretty quick. Your feelings are hurt more than another place is, I'll guarantee you that. But buddy, listen, when you get a whooping, you'll cry, and the difference between a whipping and a whooping is after you get a whooping, you snub. You say, what is a snub? You cry a little bit, and then you go, I never will forget, Mom and Dad used to say, if you don't quit that snubbing, I'm going to whip you again. I said, that's why I'm doing it now. Never made any sense to me at all. Look here, they have no idea. They're like he's from outer space. Now they y'all love me, don't you? Be a good time, shake your head and say yes. But John was weeping. He's brokenhearted. Can I tell you, we'd all be better off doing a little bit of weeping because we're brokenhearted over some things. And there's a lot to be brokenhearted today about in this world. But old John was wiping the tears. Now, if I'd have been him, you know what I'd have been looking forward? My church has heard me say this more than one time. You know what, if I'd have been John? When I was looking up, I'd been ready to see a lion, wouldn't you? That's what the angel said. The angel said, wait just a minute, John. Don't weep. Here's a lion of the tribe of Judah. But when John looked up, listen to what he said he saw. He said, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as he had been slain. You know what he saw? He saw the resurrected Jesus Christ, God's Lamb, according to what John said, that came to take away the sin of the world. Now everybody get in this right now. You just react like I know you're going to. Everybody in here that's been saved, say amen. Amen. Well, He washed your sins away. Thank God He's the one that did it. When He died at Calvary, and when He shed His blood, He didn't spill it. His blood wasn't an accident. Bless God. It was according to the Word and the will of Almighty God. Now let's look and see a little bit. I'm going to spend just a moment or two. I've got a little ways to go and it won't be long. Should be done by 8:30. But I've lied before. No, I'm just kidding. Honestly, we shouldn't be long. But look at this line. Now listen. John said, I saw Him, now get this, standing. He said a lion stood. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of His resurrection. Now let me educate you. The resurrection that we're going to celebrate in Jesus Christ in just a couple of Sundays away on Easter. It wasn't a spiritual resurrection that Jesus had. Everybody heard me say that? Say amen. He came up out from the grave. He left the grave clothes, brought His body. They had the nail pins in His hands, and they're still there today. We'll see them. When He comes back in the Revelation to whoop up on the Antichrist and all the armies of the world, do you know what? They'll see them. They'll see them without a doubt. Hey, listen, even the Jews, when they repent, that have denied Him and rejected Him and mocked Him and scoffed Him and crucified Him. Now, wait just a minute. Don't you let the devil tell you that the Jews are the reason how that Jesus got crucified. They were in the mix. Hey, God made it so that they had had part. How about every one of us that were born into this world? How blessed God He died. How because of men knew. They weren't in that alone. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. And John said, I saw Him standing. Thank God. Now listen, I'm not getting it across right, but that's shouting ground right there. And look, it doesn't stop. Look what kind of lamb it was. He was a lamb that had seven horns. Horns in the Word of God is an emblem of power. Can I tell you, friend, the number seven is the number of completion. At times, it even has to do with perfection. But I'll tell you what, listen to me. Jesus has got all power in heaven and in earth. And back in chapter 1, it calls Him the Almighty. Now look, He goes on to continue to describe Him. Not only does He have seven horns, but He has seven eyes. Now that's not talking about literally. Jesus doesn't have seven eyes in His head. But what it's saying is, listen, He's got all knowledge. He is omniscient. Meaning that He knows all things. I was listening and y'all ought to Google it. Everybody in here that loves good preaching ought to Google Ralph Sexton's message on the God of knowledge. You've got it, don't you, Josh? Todd's heard it. I don't know who else has in here, but you know what Ralph Sexton said? Ralph Sexton Sr., man, he was preaching on a radio program and he was talking about the God of knowledge. And he said, listen, the knowledge of God is equal over all things, great and small. Hey, listen, I'm glad tonight Jesus knows us and loves us just the same. One other thing and I'll move on. Not only is He got seven horns and seven eyes, but He's got seven spirits. You know what that means? Listen, friend, He's full of it. Y'all know what you ought to go to do Monday? Go to work and say, y'all know, can I tell you something about Jesus? He's full of it. Y'all didn't like that, did you? I preached a message one time I'm loaded. Hey, y'all in Boone County, y'all ought to know what that means. They're acting like they're getting uppity up on me. I grew up here. I was born and raised here. I know most of you. You ought to go to work someday and they say, how you doing? Say, man, I'm loaded. See, y'all still didn't get it. You need to read your Bible. The Bible said He loadeth us daily with benefits. Some of you still didn't like it, so let me move on. He's not only the Lord as a great high priest. The Lord is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Not only the Lord has the lamb, and I'm not going to take, but I am going to read this in verse 11 and 12. He said, "Behold, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" Turn to chapter 19, if you will, and we'll look at this quickly. In chapter 19, we're going to see Him as the Lord of Lords. By the time we get to this place, the marriage supper of the Lamb has already taken place. We've got on, those of us that are saved, we've got on our white linen. At this time, listen, friend, we make up the armies that is following this man that we're going to read about. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 11. He said, John did, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Here he is being described again a lot like he was in chapter 1. "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thighs a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." He's not a Lord among many, but he's a Lord above all of them. And I say glory to God. I don't know about you all, and I don't think it's going to be like this. I don't believe there's going to be a big battle maybe the way that we might think that it is, because He's going to destroy them with the word of His mouth. But I've always thought I'd like to be up front in those bunch that are following Him, Josh, so I could get a little blood splashed on me. Amen. Amen. Y'all may think I'm strange or narcissistic or whatever, but I'm telling you, friend, when it comes to putting no smutty face, I bless God, into that lake of fire, I'd like to have some sort of part with. He's caused me more trouble than I'd like to tell you about tonight. Let me give you one more. I'm going to change speeds. Brother Gary, whoever you're going to get to sing, get him to come to the piano. Turn with me to chapter 20. Oh, I've left off so much, and you all know that. You young preachers, take this and make you a series out of it or something, would you? Preach it and do better with it than I did. Let's change gears a little bit and let's get real serious. If you come tonight lost and undone, I'm going to read about you right here if you die that way. I don't know your name, but if you die lost, if you die rejecting Jesus, if you die resisting the Holy Spirit, if you die saying no to the gospel, if you die, friend, listen, saying that I don't want anything to do with Jesus, I know where you're going to be, and you're going to be right here. I know where you'll spend eternity according to the Word of God. Now, I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what this book says. So you pay attention as I read from verse 11 and following. And I want you to know, in my opinion, this is the most terrifying picture of anything that I read about in the entire Word of God. I want you to think about it if you're lost. If you can't say, I heard y'all singing Josh's theme song. My name is Ben. Hey, he's from the city and he sounds like he was born and raised in Boone County. He's got 5.5 years at WVU. They didn't think that was very important, y'all. I told him he should have turned it into 6.5 if he was smart. I heard him sing while I was washing my hands. My name is in the book of life. If you don't know yours is, listen, I beg of you. You say, preacher, there's too many people for me to go forward. I want to tell you what. The night I got saved, April the 23rd, down at Freedy, hey, the house was full. And when I saw myself lost, and when I knew I was under conviction, I could care less who was looking at me, who was there, and who wasn't. I knew I needed to be saved. I wanted to be saved. And I needed to do whatever it took. And I did it. Amen. Now, you don't have to come to this altar. I'm going to give an altar call in a minute. I'm just getting you ready. You don't have to come to this altar to be saved. It's a good place. You can be saved right where you're at. But here's what I want you to do. Be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen to what he said. I've got to quit. He said, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. You say, why is the book of life there, preacher? Well, I've got my opinions, and I'm not going to preach that, but I believe one of them will be to testify to the fact that your name could have been in there. I may as well just go ahead and make you think just a little bit. I'm not sure that it won't be there, but struck out because you didn't trust Christ as your Savior. Y'all make that think that's strange, but I'm not sure our name was written in the day we were saved. I can't help but think sometime that it was written in there a long time ago. You see, listen, I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not a Reformed Calvinist. I do not believe when Jesus died at Calvary, He offered a limited atonement. I believe He shed His blood for whosoever will. Y'all stick with me. You'll get the message that I got here in just a minute. You ought to do some studying up on this reform movement. It's catching fire. Do you hear me? I'm telling you, the whosoever, He didn't predestinate anybody to go to hell. Not even Judas Iscariot. Somebody had to do what He did. But Jesus, remember the night that Judas kissed Him? He called Him friend. And if Peter could rededicate or get saved or whatever he did when he went out and wept bitterly for denying Him, I believe there was hope for Judas. I'll just leave that with y'all, whether you agree with me or not. Listen to what He goes on to say. He said, I saw them standing. He said in verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Now let me say this. I've talked to a lot of people in my life. I'm almost 71 years of age. Been in the ministry. I think this is my 46th year, maybe the 47th. I'll be 50 years old in the Lord, April the 23rd this year. How wonderful that is. And you know what I've heard a lot of people say? All I want at judgment is what's coming to me. Let me tell y'all something. Thank God I want all the grace, Gary, that God can stack up around me. Amen. Thank God I don't want what's coming to me. I want mercy. I want grace. And I want a lot of it. Amen. I didn't deserve to get saved. I needed to be saved. And the only way I could have been, by the grace of God. The older I get, the more I learn about this book. If we don't get to heaven by grace, we don't get there at all, folks. We don't get there at all. Let me finish. He said they were judged, every man according to his works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. Every head bowed, nobody looking around. That doesn't have to be you. But if you looked into that passage of Scripture, if you even think that that is a picture of you one day, oh, look, sinner friend, if I were you, I'd tear out of that seat. I'd move from the middle of the pew that I was in. I'd take somebody by the hand. I'd take Christ by faith and say, I've got to be saved. I don't want to die lost. I don't want to go to a devil. You know why I got saved April the 23rd? I was scared if I died. Matter of fact, I was more than scared. I was sure that if I died, I'd go to hell. I didn't want to go to hell. Jesus came from heaven, born of a virgin, lived sinless among us, died substitutionally for us, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and on the third and appointed morning, He came out of the grave for my justification. Friend, He came for you too. So I'm going to pray. I'm wore out. This is my second trip to Boone County today. I'm wore out, but I wonder if there's some man, woman, boy or girl, even you all that come from Roxalana, if you don't know for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven, won't you put your hand up real quick, real quietly right now. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not trick you. But hey, listen, I'll recognize you and say God bless. But if you're lost, you don't want to leave here without Jesus. Somebody will meet you at the altar. Brother Garrity will take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. But I'll tell you what, you get a seeking sinner and a seeking Savior together, and Christ will know what to do. Is that you tonight? Anybody at all? I need to be saved. I'm backslidden on God. Whatever it may need, listen, as much as God's in this place, He's able to meet your need according to His riches and glory. Anybody? Anybody at all? Say, pray for me, preacher. I want to meet the Lord as the Lamb of God, not as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Because you see, when He comes the next time, He's not coming to die for sin. He's already done that. He's going to come to judge those that are sinners. Father, I'm thankful. Thankful for the Word. How precious that it is. And we're thankful tonight for how that You have given us a picture of our Lord and Savior. Lord, there are people in the Christian circles that many times they banter about whether we've got what they call Lordship salvation. Well, Lord, I don't know what they answer sometimes, and maybe I don't understand even why they do. But I believe if we have You as our Savior, we got to take You as our Lord. We're thankful that You're who You are. Thankful that You're where You are. And thank that You can do what You have done. So I pray tonight, Father, that anyone that needs You in whatever way, especially for salvation, that, Lord, the searchlight of heaven would shine on them, that they would get under such conviction that, again, as the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and would you come? What are you going to sing? Just as I am, she said. Would you come tonight, friend? If you're lost and undone, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, why don't you come? Would you come as we sing? I don't know what page it is, but most of us could probably sing it by memory. If you come one way, I guarantee by the grace of God, you'll go another. You can come a sinner and leave a saint. You can come lost and leave found. You can come blind and leave seen. You can come empty and leave full. Why don't you come tonight? Why don't you come to see the unsaved? Oh, God loves you. God wants to save you. Would you come? To rid my soul of one dark block. To thee, to flood. shed His blood. He'll wash you from your sins in the blood. Would you come? Hold on just a minute. Misty, you go ahead and play. Every head bowed. Nobody looking around. I told you early in the message before I started preaching, you don't have to come to the altar to be saved. Coming forward, if I understand church history right, started late in the 1800s, the early 19s, when Charles Finney used to have great success in revivals. You can be saved right where you're standing if you choose to be. I'm going to look over the congregation. And if you want to pray and ask Jesus into your heart right there, coming to the altar adds nothing to your salvation. Nothing. You can be saved right there if you want to be. I'm going to